Amazing to think about when we get to glory. Would you open your Bibles with me this morning for the message to Gospel of John, chapter number 12? I'd like to read these verses for the message this morning as we recall and think about the Lord's triumphal entry into Jerusalem on his way to Calvary. Some have tried to discount the Bible story. I think that is wrong, but I believe the Word of God is true, and the events recorded there happened as he said. So I'd like us to remember and rehearse the events as they're recorded here in Scripture. If you'd like to follow along in your Bible while I read, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and he had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, "Let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always." Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, "Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." And Jesus, when he had found a young ass and sat thereupon, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh sitting on an ass's colt." These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they those things, that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard he had done this miracle. The Pharisees, therefore, said among themselves, "Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him." And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while, The light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That the saying of Esaias the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Esaias said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hath hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. These things saith Esaias when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Now, I read that whole chapter because I wanted to rehearse it in our minds and our hearts this morning to realize the specific way God has provided for us. And I noticed several times he references Old Testament prophecies that are fulfilled in the experience of our Lord Jesus Christ. God's word is true. God fulfills his promises. And we see that over and over in the Bible. And I'm encouraged by that here as the Lord is presented to these people. He fulfilled the messianic prophecy. Those prophecies were contrary to what the world thought was right. I mean, can you imagine a king riding on a donkey? Why doesn't he have a great war horse like the Romans would expect? Or the other people as a conqueror, as that was what they were looking for, their Messiah that would rule the world. But as often is the case, God's ways are not our ways. And we sometimes misunderstand his plan. Many of these people who are crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. They were looking for that promised Messiah, which Jesus is. But they missed the part of the suffering servant, also revealed in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 53 and other portions revealed how he would go and suffer and present himself as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. Even as it was prophesied in Daniel chapter 9 and then chapter 12, there are a lot of verses there that talk about the things that would come. And the prophecy of the 70 weeks, perhaps you've heard it spoken and preached about, and I'll not spend a lot of time on it, but I'll sum it up to say that after these days and years were accomplished, Jesus came in to the city, presented himself in the triumphal entry exactly as it was prophesied after the 69 weeks were fulfilled. And then he was cut off, not for his own sins. Well, of course, what a picture of Jesus that is. He died not for his mistakes or his sins, but for ours. And then the one that would come and cause destruction and oppose the work of God has come into this world. And we see that even in our day. Another thing I noticed in the reading that I've given here was how, though he proved over and over and over that he was God the Son, by his miracles that he performed, by the words that he spoke, by the lives that he changed, some rejected and some received. And it's interesting to notice those who knew the most of the Bible's teaching in their religion and their background seemed to be the hardest to reach. But it says in another passage that the common people heard him gladly. And the problem we often have when we grow up hearing truths from the Word of God, we may think that we understand everything perfectly, and when something challenges our conclusions, we want to reject it out of hand rather than say, God, show me the truth. Help me understand what's real about this. And if you recall back early in chapter 3 of John's gospel, there was a man named Nicodemus who came to Jesus by night. And he asked him, about all these things. We know you're a great teacher, these miracles and stuff. And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, you must be born again. And he goes out that whole message there of salvation. Born of water and of spirit. You got to be born again by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We look forward to that crucifixion, or we look back to that crucifixion that paid the price of our sins on Calvary. And Nicodemus, though he was a ruler of the Jews, remember, he was a leader of the Pharisees. He was very understanding of the teachings they had received through the years. God had revealed to him the fulfillment in Christ. And really, isn't that true of all of us? God has to reveal to us in our heart and mind that we might receive the truth that God loved us, that Christ died for us, and he'll save us if we'll just ask and receive the gift that he freely gave. And all these things that are described here was part of that plan. It's interesting to me also to notice that though some were rejecting and some were betraying, they were all involved in the plan God had. You know, we look around our world today, and it's easy to get discouraged, isn't it? We see the terrible things being done in many places in the name of another religion, killing and destroying. We see people making terrible comments and hateful accusations even here in our nation. And we wonder, how are we going to deal with this? It was like that in the days of Jesus. Some people have said, well, it's worse today than it's ever been. That's not so. It's been worse. Read your Bible. In the days of Noah, every thought and imagination of man's heart was only evil continually. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And when he built the ark, how many got in with him and the animals that God sent? Just Noah, his three sons, and their wives. 8 people. All the rest rejected until it was too late. Why? Because their hearts were fully given over to wickedness and rejection of God. Even in our story here, we see one who was close to Jesus, one of the disciples who went with them, thought money was more important than the Savior. Judas criticized the gift of Mary, an expensive offering of this ointment, showing her devotion and perhaps even her understanding of what Jesus had been telling them, which most of the others missed until much later. He said, against the day of my burying, she kept this. And he praised her because she gave it freely from her heart. But he criticized him. Well, you should have sold this for 300 pence and given to the poor. 300 pence in those days, that was, if you read your scripture, a penny was the day's wage. It wasn't our penny, it was theirs. But if you think 300 days' wages, that's a lot of money, isn't it? But she gave it freely because she believed in him. And people knew he was there, and they'd noticed and they'd heard about the story of how he had raised Lazarus from the dead. You remember that in chapter 11? As they called for Jesus to come, Lazarus, your friend is sick, come and help. See, they believed he could heal him. But Jesus didn't go then. He waited and waited and waited. And when he finally came, Martha said, well, it's been 4 days. He stinks, when he said, open up the grave. She'd given up. She didn't understand why he didn't come. She'd given up. But you see, he had a plan she didn't know about to give God the glory. And he called out, Lazarus, come forth. And here he comes, bound in grave clothes. And they said, loose him and set him free. And he did. And here's a living, breathing testimony, the power of God through Jesus Christ. And yet some refused to humble themselves before him. Because again, he changed what they wanted to what he said. He didn't follow their plan. He didn't do it their way. And they opposed him. Verse 10 amazes me. Chief priests consulted they might put Lazarus also to death, because by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. I think about that idea of Lazarus' testimony bringing other people to know him. What about your testimony and mine? If the Lord is real in your life and he's changed you, as the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. God makes a difference in your life. And people ought to be able to see it. And I hope they would come to inquire and to learn of this Jesus whom we serve. And then the people, they came to the feast, and they were excited, and they believed, Hosanna, he's coming in the name of the Lord. But you see, they saw one part of the prophecy and missed the other. How often do we the same? We look forward to the exciting part, the high mountaintop experience. The Messiah's come. He's going to set up. And they looked and they saw he's going to set up his kingdom. He's going to rule in Jerusalem. He's going to throw the Romans out. He can heal people. He can give bread and fish to people. He can multiply. We're going to have a wonderful time with this Messiah that can supply all our wants and needs. But first, he had to go to the cross and die for us. See, they missed that. How often do we look at the promises of God and get so excited? God, give me this and give me this and give me this. And we miss the fact that sometimes he has to lead us through the valley of suffering and sorrow, that he might glorify himself through us. And we have to experience things that are not pleasant, but he knows what he's doing. There were Greeks there at the feast. There were people that by birth were not part of Israel's plan, but they came to worship at the feast. They came to learn of this God of Israel, and they said, we would see Jesus. Boy, isn't that good. Sir, we would see Jesus. So Philip got Andrew, and they told Jesus. Now, what did he say? The hour has come, the Son of Man must be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, bringeth forth much fruit. What an image of his sacrifice for us. By the way, the way the word corn is used here, it's not talking about the ear of corn, it's talking about a kernel. It's the way they referred to it in those days. And you take a corn of wheat or a seed of wheat and you set it in that piano over there and you come back in 50 years, it's still there. But if you take it and put it in the ground and the sun and the water and the earth involved and it grows, it brings forth much fruit. You see, it had to die in order to give life. Jesus Christ has to go to Calvary's cross that he might give us everlasting life by faith in him. And then he reminds us of the importance of valuing that which is eternal. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. It's a contradiction to our worldly philosophy, isn't it? There's a word for that, and I forgot. Paradox. Or something that we say, I don't understand. How can you give up and keep it? By faith. You see, God has our life in his hand. The missionary Jim Elliot was made famous after his death for some of the writings in his journal where he had a sentence that many have quoted. He's no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And Jim Elliot and his four friends gave their lives in a jungle in Ecuador, trying to reach people who never knew the gospel up to that point. And always the part that gets my heart is to realize they were killed by spears and arrows, and they had guns, but they refused to use them because they said, how can we go and kill the people God sent us to reach? And then he used the wife and children of some of them to go back in later and explain to these people, no, these white men were not people coming to steal your children and to eat you. These people are coming to tell you of the God of heaven who wants to bring you into his family by faith in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the world doesn't understand the message until we come and we explain it to them from the Bible. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Is it any wonder why the world is so confused today about the truth of Christianity, when so much of what they think it means has nothing to do with what it really is? For so many people represent the religion, quote, that is named after Christ by all kinds of things that have nothing to do with the Word of God. And that's a shame. It's not about buildings. It's not about robes. It's not about censers and all those outward things that some people use to represent many things to themselves. But it's about what God has said and and what God has done, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he said, if you want to serve me, follow me. Where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, then will my Father honor. You know, see, we need to follow him all the way my Savior leads me. That's the way we need to go and serve him. And then he gives this great testimony as he prays, Father, what shall I say? Save me from this hour. For this cause came I to this hour. I remember the other account where he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and he prayed, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But if not, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. What a statement. We ought to take that in our minds and hearts as we pray. And we ask God for things we really want, but we could always add that little caveat, Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Because God knows more than we do. He cares more than we care. And here the Lord gave him a great sign. God spoke from heaven, and some understood the voice. Some thought it was thunder. Isn't that the way it always is? Some get it and some don't. Some are not ready yet. Some have rejected already. I recall the story that Jesus gave of the man Lazarus and the rich man. They died, and in hell the rich man lifted up his eyes and he saw Lazarus over on the other side with Father Abraham. And he asked him, come, dip your finger in the water, cool my tongue. He said, we can't. Those over there can't come here, and those here can't go there. He said, well, then send it back to warn my five brothers. They don't come to this awful place. And Abraham said, well, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. He said, oh, they won't listen to that. But if a man rose from the dead, they'd listen to that. You remember what his answer was? He said, if they won't believe Moses and the prophets, they won't believe though a man rose from the dead. If you reject God's word, then you won't believe anything that God has done. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's so amazing how we have allowed in our nation that was founded on the great promises of God to be controlled by a philosophy that everything just happened over billions and billions of years from nothing. And yet God's Bible says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Such a foundational truth. So many things like that where we have people, I can't believe that. That goes against my observation. Well, the Bible talks about a lot of things that go against our observation. It says someday the Lord's going to call from heaven, and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God and the dead in Christ shall rise. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the heavens to be with the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I mean, you're going to fly without wings. Fly from this world if you're still alive when Jesus comes. If you're dead, then your old body's going to be raised up and changed to a new one. That's against our observation. That's by God's power. There's a lot of things like that. And then Jesus gives this illustration, verse 32. I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. It said, signifying what death he should die. He's referencing the cross. Some have tried to deny that Jesus died upon the cross for our sins. Some have said, well, it was a stake. Well, he died on the cross. I believe that. Some have tried to deny it altogether because it goes against their chosen beliefs. But the Bible says this is what he did, and I believe God's word. But the illustration refers back to the Old Testament, Moses, as the children of Israel were traveling and they murmured against God one time too many. He sent fiery serpents among them, and they bit them, and they die. They said, oh, God, forgive us, help. And Moses came to him and said, all right, this is what God said. He told me to make this brazen serpent, stick it on a pole. And if you'll look, you'll live. Now, can you imagine anything so counterintuitive to believe you got bit by a snake, and if you look at a brass snake, it'll take care of it? He said, that's impossible. Well, if you didn't look, you died. But if you believe the word of God, you looked and you lived. Had to look up to the sacrifice that God had provided in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, by his death on Calvary, dying on the cross for our sins, we look by faith and believe in him. Charles Spurgeon, a young man who was traveling in London in a terrible snowstorm and couldn't go to his regular house of worship, stopped at a little Methodist chapel on the way, and there just a few people had gotten out that terrible, cold, snowy winter day, and a man, not the pastor, just one of the men there, spoke, and he said, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. And he repeated it over and over, and that day Spurgeon said he understood, and he called on the Lord. He looked, and it changed his life. He became the boy preacher. He preached to thousands in a day without microphones or anything. God used him in a mighty way. Why? Because he looked and lived. And yet Jesus trying to tell us we have to believe it his way. And he encourages him to enjoy the fellowship while he's here because he's going to be leaving. And then verse 37, though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. The saying of Isaiah might be fulfilled. You see, some people reject the truth. They're blinded. I preached a sermon years ago entitled, Who Cannot Be Saved? From John chapter 3, verses 18 through 21. And the answer is, whosoever won't. You can be if you will. Whosoever will, let him come. But if you refuse the truth, if you turn from the light, you reject the word of God, there's nothing else. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Or as Jesus said in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So Jesus came, and I love the last part here. It talks about many of the rulers believed, but they were afraid. They loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Oh, what an indictment. Is that true of Christians today? I fear that sometimes it is. We're afraid to be counted with those who believe Jesus Christ only for salvation, and he's the only way. But he said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And so the power, he's the light of the world. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. Came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me, as rejected not my, and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him, the word that I have spoken. The same shall judge him in the last day. You see, the word of God endures. The promises of God, the fulfillment of those promises, they're all going to be there. And we look at that, the Lord Jesus Christ, they welcome him, they're excited, but very soon they're going to turn against him. Why? Because they didn't believe by faith that what God said was sufficient. Oh, I challenge you this morning, do you know him? I sang that song, I shall know him when I get to heaven. And I believe that. I'm excited to think about that. But does he know you? In the gospel it talks about, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out demons, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. You see, the terrible consequence of unbelief. Do you know him? Stand together with me at the invitation, please. We're going to sing 176, Without Him, Nothing. Beautiful hymn. 176. The Lord's touched your heart and you want to come to this altar for prayer.